It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Happy Friday. Much love to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. All my people getting ready for a Friday afternoon, a Friday night. My people leaving work, my people going to work, my delivery drivers, my truck drivers, my people helping people, protecting people, saving people, delivering to people. All people. Thank you for listening. I might be in Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to our producer for tonight, Jack Carty, holding it down in New York City. This show gets started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We talked about a lot already. Come on now. The New York Mets gave us an update. Kodai Senga is going to start tomorrow against the Phillies. Man has pitched 5 innings all year long. Aaron Rodgers says, hey, me and Rob Sala, we're great. Watch us play football on Sunday against Minnesota. We get along perfectly fine. We got more football to talk about. How about this? In about 20 minutes from now, we're going to have a conversation with Mike DeFabo from The Athletic. Why? Because the Cowboys are going to take on the Steelers. Mike covers all things Steelers, so this is going to be a fun conversation. That's going to be a Sunday night football matchup. Steelers, Cowboys, two legendary teams. What the hell is going on with Russell Wilson now? How is Mike Tomlin feeling about Fields? How long are they going to do this dance? Like, eventually Russell Wilson is going to be healthy, right? We're going to talk with Mike DeFabo. We'll have that conversation in about 20 minutes. We talked about the Falcons last night, kicking us off with this week in the NFL season. Coming back, the back and forth, the missed field goals, the blocked field goals, the interceptions to still beat the Bucs. The Bucs shot themselves in the foot. Terrible. And we have more to get into. Looks like there already is trouble up in New England with the Patriots players not being happy with their current quarterback. We're going to look at some of the head coaches who might already be on the hot seat. Man, well, we got a lot. Baseball, basketball, football, we got everything covered. As I told you, right before the break, we talked about the Jets and the Minnesota Vikings starting off our football Sunday out in London. I'd be remiss not to remind you that there's so much international, this international, that going on. The NBA had a preseason game today in Abu Dhabi. I'm talking about the Celtics and the Nuggets played in Abu Dhabi for the sole purpose of what? Marketing. That's it. The Celtics beat the Nuggets in a meaningless game, an exhibition to get the people going, to expose a new audience to the NBA. They beat them 107-103. Jaylen Brown and Tatum, who cares what they did? You know, they ain't played. They played about 20 minutes each, 19 minutes each. Tatum had 12. Brown had 8. And then for the Nuggets, this is the first time in a basketball game you saw Russell Westbrook in a Denver Nuggets uniform. He had 12 points, 8 assists. Nikola Jokic had 14 points and 8 rebounds in 17 minutes. So they're just going through the motions right now. A matter of fact, this is all marketing. You have to appease to the audience. You have to appease to your customers. Jaylen Brown, the man who just won NBA Finals MVP, he actually introduced everybody. He said hello. He welcomed everybody to the game in Abu Dhabi. Who knew? And I wonder how long it took him to memorize or maybe learn this Arabic. Listen to this.
Assalamu alaikum, Abu Dhabi. Ana Esmi, Jaylen Brown from the Boston Celtics. Shukran Listida, Fatekum Lana. On behalf of the NBA and the NBAPA, Shukran Thani. Let's have a great game. Let's have a great game. Assalam.
Yay. They play one more game over the weekend before they come back home. Nice sales job. The crowd loved it. It's like, oh, he spoke Arabic. Oh, great. American came over here and tried. Doesn't happen all the time. And speaking of Abu Dhabi, the NFL is looking to play a game in Abu Dhabi. They just played a game in Brazil. We've seen a game played in Mexico. The NFL is obviously trying to expand its reach globally all over the world. I told you we got a game on Sunday in London between Minnesota and the New York Jets. Abu Dhabi? Now, it's not final. They scouted the site out. The NFL is going to have a game, a regular season game, whether it be in Australia, somewhere else in Europe, maybe Spain, Abu Dhabi. Man, I'd pay to see that. A game in Abu Dhabi. What are the fans going to watch? Do they care? I don't know. Anyway, NFL got so much money, they're just like, yeah, let's do side quests right now. What new fans are we going to pick up? Yeah, nobody in Abu Dhabi is going to, I don't know, put on pads and play in 120-degree weather, but they can build domes. They can afford it. And anyway, let's leave Abu Dhabi, and let's make our way to Texas. Because out of all the fancy games that we have, had a game last night in the NFL. We'll get into some college football, too, by the way. We got a fancy game Sunday night football, two legendary franchises, the Steelers and the Cowboys. We got an early matchup, too. This one is going to be fun. We got the Bills. And we got the Texans. Now, what makes this matchup interesting? A, first of all, we know the Buffalo Bills have been trying to get over the hump and go to the Super Bowl since Josh Allen showed up. Unfortunately for them, they keep running into some guy. His name is, what's his name again? Patrick Mahomes. Sucks for them. Meanwhile, the Texans, just beyond last season, they were a laughingstock. They've been a laughingstock. Man, you could thank Bill O'Brien for some of his dumbass moves. You could also thank ownership. But bringing in D'Amico Ryans to be the head coach and drafting C.J. Stroud, it turned out to be a miracle for them. They went to the postseason last year, ultimately lost to the Ravens, a more seasoned team. And so here you have an up-and-coming AFC team. Here you have an, excuse me, AFC team. You have an AFC stalwart here in the Buffalo Bills. And the biggest story is that Stephon Diggs switched teams in the offseason. After two seasons of postseason disappointments, Stephon Diggs finally got the boot. He got moved from Buffalo to Houston. C.J. Stroud has a brand new toy to play with, someone who's been a multiple-time Pro Bowler, someone who at one point in time, you could say he's either 1A or B or 3. I don't know if you go to C, A, B, C, I don't know. He was one of the best receivers in the game. And he still is. I mean, so far this year, the Houston Texans have a record of 3-1. Stephon Diggs has hauled in 233 yards and has two touchdowns. And they're rolling. I mean, outside of a disappointing loss, can't even call it a loss, the Minnesota Vikings beat the hell out of the Texans 34-7. The Texans are just rolling. Everybody wants to see what they do in the postseason. How does C.J. Stroud take that next step? He has six touchdowns and two INTs. But everybody is talking about Diggs, because he threw himself some fits on the way out. He's so competitive. Oh, he cares so much. Oh, he's this and that. Oh, stop it. There comes a point in time where you can't be a crybaby, especially when you lose. We hear this all the time about the diva wide receiver, Stephon Diggs. He didn't want to be there no more, and they didn't want him. They wanted to spread the ball around. And so a couple of weeks ago, Josh Allen made the comment that the team is better right now. Bills are 3-1 when, quote-unquote, everybody eats. And, of course, that got blown up. It was meant, or maybe as a shot, at Stephon Diggs. And Josh Allen said, no, there's no beef. I love the guy. A matter of fact, listen to what Josh Allen had to say about his relationship with his former wide receiver.
I got a lot of love for him. I still do. The things that he did for me in my career and the things that he did in the Buffalo Bill uniform won't be forgotten anytime soon, especially from me. So that's how I look at it. At the same time, you know, going into year seven, I understand the business and the aspect of what this league is. And again, I'm just trying to focus on what we got going in this building.
That's all you can do, right? All I got to do is just throw flowers back and, oh, we love each other. I loved him and he loved me and it was time for a separation. That's what people do, right? In real life, I think. But sometimes, most people I know, I don't know. When they break up, I don't know, hate each other's guts. I don't know. Maybe it's me. I don't know. Anyway, it's Stephon Diggs. He talked about his mindset taking on his former team. Listen to this.
block out the noise. You know, a lot of other people are going to feel away or have a lot to say about XYZ, and I don't mind. I'm not mad at it. I'm trying to go 1-0. Obviously, they're a good team. They got a lot of guys that can fly around on the defense, but they're a really good team. So look forward to it.
He looks forward. Look, there's nothing. There's no beef. It'd be fun for me if they were talking about how much they hate each other's guts, but there's none of that. Everybody here is a gentleman, I think. I do remember a viral video where they said that. Well, the Buffalo Bills, or maybe it was the Vikings, whatever it was. They said they did not want Stephon Diggs anywhere near their sister. I guess maybe he's not such a nice guy. Anyway, I don't know. Not sure. I'll tell you this, though. This is early in the regular season. Buffalo Bills are 3-1. And Texans are 3-1. Texans are playing at home. NRG Stadium, or whatever the hell they name that silly thing now. And everybody's focused in on Stephon Diggs. Got 2 touchdowns on the year, 233 yards, not too shabby. But the other wide receiver is actually doing better. Nico Collins on the Texans. This dude has more yards than anybody, more yards receiving. 489 on the year. Yeah, C.J. Stroud is looking for that man. And C.J. Stroud, he is finding that man. And so I want to take the Texans at home. But at the same time, I look at the Buffalo Bills and I say, they're good. Are they that good, though? I know. God bless Josh Allen, playing like an MVP. 0 turnovers on the year. They're spreading the ball around. I know Khalil is not going to be out there on the other end of receiving passes. It's going to make things a little bit more difficult. Josh Allen is really going to have to spread the ball around. This game might come down to a field goal. Or it might come down to Josh Allen, I don't know, having to go out there and be Superman. I'm going to take the Texans at home via field goal. Pretty much because Khalil is out. You're taking away one of his weapons. He's trying to spread the wealth. D'Amico Ryans used to crack skulls in the NFL. He played linebacker. Now he's the head coach. He knows about opposing a quarterback right in front of him. D'Amico Ryans talked about Josh Allen, and he says, oh, yeah, we know this guy. He can break the whole damn game for us.
He always has that explosive ability to him. And then Josh is a really big player, 6'5", big, tough runner. So when they do have the quarterback design runs, whether it's sneak or the zone read plays, like, he's able to fall forward for yards because he's such a physical player. So really tough matchup, really respect, you know, what he's done in this league, how he's grown as a quarterback, and how he's, you know, led that team and kept them, you know, as a successful team every time they step on the field.
He is the could you imagine if the Buffalo Bills had, I don't know, Aiden O'Connell at quarterback? My apologies to the Buffalo Bill fans that had to go, ugh. Could you imagine if they had, I don't know, another Geno Smith? Sorry, Seahawks fans. You know, Geno's okay. The Buffalo Bills are where they're at because of Josh Allen. He is a football player. He's beyond a quarterback. He's just a football player. He's not afraid. He's not afraid to drop that shoulder. Thank God he's cut down on the turnovers this year. Still can't believe he has 0. I'm only giving it the Texans the edge because they're at home. And Khalil Shakir is out. Let's see what this game looks like. And let's see what Stephon Diggs does. You want to bet if this guy catches a touchdown that he doesn't have some clever dance? You want to bet that if, you know, Stephon Diggs doesn't have a career day, that he's not going to dance all over the place, that he's not going to look at the sidelines of the Buffalo Bills? Stephon Diggs is a showman. I don't know what the hell he's going to show up wearing to the game. I don't know what he's going to do in the game, but C.J. Stroud is going to be looking for this dude, and Stephon Diggs is going to go out there looking to show up his former team. That actually might be the bigger and better reason to go ahead and take the Texans. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. That's an early game. Later on in the evening, Sunday Night Football on NBC, we'll have an opportunity to watch two of the legacy franchises in the NFL go at it as the Dallas Cowboys are going to take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. What should we expect from this game? How have the fans taken to Justin Fields? And what the hell is going on with Russell Wilson? When are we going to see him play football, if ever? We're going to have a chat with Mike DeFabo from The Athletic on the other side of the break. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Well, damn it, we called out to the guy that I absolutely want to hear from. We talked about some of the matchups you're going to see this upcoming Sunday, whether it's in London between the Jets and the Vikings, whether it's an earlier matchup between the Buffalo Bills and the Houston Texans. But to close out the night, I feel like we're going back to the 70s. We're going to have the Steelers and we're going to have the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys coming off of a little bit of a break. A lot of their players appear broken. And the Steelers, unfortunately, coming off of a loss against the Colts. It's been bad. To talk about this matchup from the Steelers' perspective, as someone who covers them full-time for The Athletic, it's time to have a chat with Mike DeFabo. Mike, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Well, thank you for taking the time to join us. All things considered, we know about the history between the Steelers and the Cowboys, the Super Bowls in the 70s. We had that one in the 90s. When you take a look at this matchup on Sunday, knowing that the Steelers had a little bit of a fight to get back into it with the Colts, is this a trap game at home? What are your thoughts on this matchup?
Yeah, you know, I look at this as a nice opportunity for the Steelers to bounce back. You know, they had that disappointing game against the Colts. That looked like a winnable game when you looked at it on the schedule before the season. And, you know, now they come back home. The Steelers are known for having a great atmosphere on primetime. You know, when people have all day to tailgate, you know, they're going to be out there in full force waving those terrible towels. So they create an incredible environment. And so, you know, I look at this as a prime opportunity here for the Steelers to bounce back. And really, I see this as one of the biggest tests that they've faced to this point. You know, some of these other games they've played have been pretty winnable. I think with Dak Prescott and the Dallas offense, if they can be on a roll, you know, I think they're going to challenge the Steelers' defense in different ways.
Mike DeFabo is here with us from The Athletic. When you take a look at the Dallas Cowboys, there's not going to be a Michael Parsons out there. There's no DeMarcus Lawrence, and that's on the defensive side of the ball. What do you expect from Justin Fields? It seems like he's gotten better with the coaching in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I would agree with you. A couple games ago, we asked Mike Tomlin, how would you evaluate Justin Fields? And his answer was, he's doing what we're asking. And I thought that that was a good answer because what they've asked of Justin Fields has changed over time. The first two, maybe three games, it was really just don't mess the game up. You know, we're going to be a run-heavy team. We're going to throw a lot of quick passes, a lot of quick games, and then sprinkle in just a little element of play-action deep pass to add that explosive element. But still, this was mostly a conservative game plan. But beginning with the Chargers game 2 games ago, what the Steelers asked of Justin Fields had changed. You know, they really needed him to be a catalyst for them, and he was in the victory over the Chargers 2 weeks ago. Then last week, running the football was it was impossible for the Steelers. It was like ramming their heads into a brick wall for most of the game. And so when they got down by 17 points, they needed to throw the football, and they needed Justin Fields to open things up. And he absolutely did that, throwing for 312 yards. And he wasn't perfect in it, but I think you saw more of what Justin Fields can do. So that's definitely a big question here in Pittsburgh. You know, I'd still expect the Steelers against a banged-up Dallas defense that's been very bad against the run to try to stick to their identity, try to establish the run, and try to win the game in that way. But, you know, as it continues, if they continue to struggle running the football, moving it that way, you know, they're going to ask more of Justin Fields. And really, this is a pivotal moment for him with Russell Wilson getting healthier. You know, the best thing that Justin Fields can do is the more he wins, the more he's going to hang on to that job as the starting quarterback.
Mike DeFabo covers the Steelers for The Athletic. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show Coast to Coast. We're going to get into Mr. Russell Wilson and the health of his calf. You talk about the run game. We know on the passing side of the ball, it's pretty much George Pickens, who still doesn't have a touchdown reception, still one of the best receivers in the game. And then after that, there's a drop-off. It's like, who else? We've heard the name Devontae Adams. Do you think he's going to end up with the Steelers? Is that likely? It's very unlikely, right?
Well, I know that there's interest there. The Steelers have at least inquired and made the phone call to see what the price is going to be. And, you know, we'll have to wait and see how things play out there. You know, I think that there's a couple parties involved in this. First of all, the Raiders, you know, what can they get? And which team is going to offer them the most? And we know that general manager Omar Khan for the Steelers, he is a very firm negotiator. And you see this even with veterans like Cam Hayward, who, you know, he wanted a new contract before the season, and they took it really down to the 11th hour. And then with the Brandon Ayuk saga, you know, my understanding of that is that Omar Khan basically gave them the offer and said, take it or leave it. And he didn't really move off his offer. So, you know, the negotiation is one side of it. The other side of it is, where does Devontae Adams himself want to play? And we know that he went to Vegas in the first place for Carr, and he's a guy that I think likes playing with a quarterback that he's familiar with. And so, you know, that makes the Saints one option, but then I think more likely the Jets. You know, it seems like talking to people around the league, they seem to think that's the most likely scenario. But then again, you know, we saw today Devontae Adams posted some cryptic things, posting Edgar Allan Poe. So, you know, we'll have to see how it all plays out. But the Steelers, there's no question that they need a receiver. Right now, guys not named George Pickens are averaging about four or five catches a game. And, you know, they've scored one touchdown, guys not named George Pickens, receivers. So, you know, the fact that they were so actively involved in Brandon Ayuk, I think they're going to also be involved in the pursuit of Devontae Adams. Whether they get him or not, I think, depends on a lot of those factors I just mentioned.
Mike, you mentioned the guy. You mentioned Russell Wilson. What's the deal with Russell? How is he progressing? Could he potentially be in cobwebs for the whole season? Is at any point Justin Fields going to get the hook if he has two bad games? What's going on with Russell?
Yeah, so if you go back to right before the season, Mike Tomlin named Russell Wilson his starter, and they were preparing that he was going to start, but there would be a package for Justin Fields, which was a very interesting dynamic. Now, that whole thing got shaken up when the Thursday before the opener, Russell Wilson went down with a calf injury, and largely that calf injury has taken any decision out of Mike Tomlin's hands. You know, Russell Wilson has simply not been healthy enough to be in the conversation. It made this a true controversy or a situation that has come to a head. But right now, things are beginning to come to a head. This week in practice, Russell Wilson, he started working more into team drills. So previously he was only doing 7-on-7. Now he's finally taking some of those full 11-on-11 full team reps. So the way I look at it, you know, how much of an on-ramp do they want to give Russ before they throw him into action or before they even consider him? You know, I would think that maybe as soon as next week he could be in the conversation, probably more likely the week after. But at that point, you know, the Steelers have a bye week right squarely in the middle of the season. They'd only be a couple weeks from there. Would you want to wait and stretch it out until the bye week? So, you know, we haven't gotten an answer from Mike Tomlin, and he's been able to use Russell Wilson's injury as a way to not declare Justin Fields the starter. But, you know, this situation pretty soon is going to come to a head, and before long we're going to get our answer whether Justin Fields has done enough to secure the starting job for the future.
Based on what you've seen, and you talk about his growth and asking him to throw the ball around like he had to do with the Chargers, do you think there's a – what's the probability that he's able to finish the season out as a starter? We're going to see Russell start eventually, right?
Man, I don't know at this point. I could see a scenario where Justin Fields, you know, is the starter from start to finish of the season if he can continue to perform the way that he has. You know, the way I look at the situation, the Pittsburgh Steelers going into this year, they were going to be a team that was built on great defense. And we've seen them play some very good defense this season. You know, they're still number two in scoring defense, even after giving up 27 points to the Colts. And then they wanted to run the football. And so, in a sense, what the Steelers were trying to do by these low-cost additions was, in a quarterback-driven league, how can we be the opposite? How can we be the outlier that we have, you know, a fully formed team, and then we get enough out of the quarterback, you know, that he adds the necessary play action and that spark through the air. So the way I look at it, if you're already getting that from Justin Fields, why would you pivot? You know, we don't know, like, there's no guarantee what Russell Wilson is even going to be at this stage in his career. He's coming off of two very underwhelming seasons in Denver, and this was really a chance for Russ to revitalize his career. You know, he says he wants to play 5-6 more seasons, and I think a lot of people around the league, at least in terms of the kind of interest he received, didn't really think along those same lines. So, you know, if you look at the trajectory of these guys' careers, one guy's 25, he seems to be improving. The other guy's going to be 36 here in November, and, you know, not as mobile as he once was. He twice over the last five seasons has led the league in sacks. Now he's injured and has missed a huge portion of time that he could be working with the first team or even in a team setting altogether. You know, I feel like as long as the Steelers keep winning and they keep rolling with Justin Fields, I wouldn't make any kind of change until you're forced to.
Mike DeFabo is here with us, covers the Steelers for The Athletic. When you take a look at the fan base, I know everybody has their opinions. We heard what Ben Roethlisberger had to say a couple of weeks ago. Have the fans embraced Justin Fields? Are they still kind of on the fence about both guys?
I think they absolutely have embraced Justin Fields. I think that, you know, winning the first three games, I think he not only helped the Steelers get ahead in the AFC North, he did win over this city. And, you know, I think that people are looking at this as, look, this guy might not only be the answer this season, but maybe this is your quarterback for the next 3, 4, 5 years. You know, he's still a young guy with a tremendous amount of talent. So I think if you were to you know, conduct a survey in Pittsburgh, you know, I think 75% of people, maybe more, would be on the side of Justin Fields going forward.
Wow. When you think about the season in whole, we always know the AFC North is tough. The Ravens are the cream of the crop right now. For whatever reason, people say, hey, don't count out the Bengals. The Browns look like an overpaid disaster. The Steelers, in the games that they've won, everything looks like a rock fight. What should we expect? What do you expect from the Steelers throughout the course of their whole season?
Yeah, I mean, I think that their formula definitely is clear. And I think one of the biggest questions I have is, how close to elite can this defense be? Last year, they were sixth best in scoring defense, and they made a number of significant additions on defense. You know, they went out and got Deshaun Elliott at safety, and I just saw today Pro Football Focus named him to their first quarter all-pro team, which just tells you the kind of impactful addition he's been. And not only in the plays that he's making, but also that's allowed them to play Minkah Fitzpatrick more in center field, which is where he should be able to be a ball hawk, even though we haven't seen quite too much of that yet this season. And then they added guys like Patrick Queen, rangy inside linebacker, and a corner in Dante Jackson, who's performed well. So, you know, they've taken areas of their roster that were weaknesses on defense, that was already a pretty good defense, and they've upgraded it. So, you know, I think this should be a top five defense, and they're going to lean on that side of the ball to carry them. And then to me, the question is, can they get this running game going in the second half? And interestingly, each of the last two seasons, the Steelers were near the bottom of the league in rushing yards and yards per carry through the first half of the season. And then it's been like a miraculous turnaround the second half, you know, as the weather gets colder, as attrition hits other defenses, and when the Steelers' offensive line has time to gel together, that's when they start doing what they want to, which is running the football and playing old school Steeler football. So for me, it's about, can this defense stay healthy enough and continue to dominate the way that we've seen them do through three of the four games? Can the run game get going? And then can you still keep getting this consistent quarterback play from whoever it is? And one of the biggest things Fields has done that I think has earned him more opportunities and, you know, more clout with Mike Tomlin he's not turned the football over. You know, he's only thrown one interception through four games, which has significantly cut down on the turnovers, which were a problem for him in Chicago. If he can protect the football, the Steelers could still play that kind of conservative brand of football that they like, low scoring, tight, hard hitting, win it at the end. And so, you know, I think that they are a playoff team, and their ceiling, I think, is going to be determined by how well they can run the football and how elite this defense becomes.
This has been a wild story for the Steelers from training camp all the way up until now. As it relates to the game on Sunday, there's no Micah Parsons. There's no DeMarcus Lawrence. There's no Brandon Cooks. Do we look at the Steelers going 4-1?
Yeah, if I had to predict, I think that the Steelers can get the job done. You know, one of the big matchups that I'm looking at is that remade Steelers secondary that I was talking about, or the upgraded Steelers secondary, versus the Dallas passing game, and specifically CeeDee Lamb. You know, I know for a fact that that's a very big emphasis for the Steelers. You know, they really want to limit a guy who had 135 receptions last season and try to make sure that there's other guys that beat them. You know, they don't want to get beat by CeeDee Lamb, and they're going to have some different designs, sometime man coverage with Joey Porter Jr. on him, a lot of zone coverage, of course. But, you know, to me, that might be one of the defining things in this game, is how well do they do limiting CeeDee Lamb. You know, if they hold him in check, I think the Steelers get the win. If he goes wild, you know, I think that's where the Steelers could have a problem.
It's going to be a fun matchup on Sunday to pretty much end the night. Hey, Mike, where can people follow you and your work with The Athletic?
Yeah, definitely. You know, you can find me on Twitter, just at Mike DeFabo. And then on The Athletic, that's where I publish all of my work, so you can check me out there.
Appreciate you taking the time. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the games. Okay, Mike?
Absolutely. You too. Have a good one.
No doubt about it. That Mike DeFabo covers all things Steelers on the beat for The Athletic. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Hey, the sports world, it moves quick and it moves fast. And we just had part of a conversation. You heard Mike and I talk about Devontae Adams and where he might end up and where he might go. And then we talked about him earlier in the show. Well, it looks like we have a little bit of an update as to where he may not go. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to Mike DeFabo from The Athletic for joining us in the last break. We got a big Sunday night football game. We got the Steelers hosting the Dallas Cowboys. The Steelers are 3-1. The Dallas Cowboys are 2-2. And it is realistic, knowing that there is no Micah Parsons, there is no DeMarcus Lawrence, there's no Brandon Cooks. The Dallas Cowboys could go 2-3 on the season. And we know after every Dallas Cowboys loss, the world is falling. The world is coming to an end. It's over. It's cooked. We're all done. You'll hear about it all Monday morning. And if the Steelers win, then we know there'll be a lot of positivity. People will be looking at Justin Fields saying, hey, Russell, sit down. The bench is for you. Like, and I don't want to sound like a bad guy. And we just had this conversation with Mike DeFabo. I would not mind if we didn't see Russell Wilson all season long. I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm not trying to be a bad guy. I think I've seen everything that I need to see with Russell Wilson. For Russell Wilson, there's nothing left in the NFL in his career but to be a redemption story. Like, you think about all the young QBs that are currently in the game. You think about their versatility, their ability to throw, pass, and run all over the place and do it all. That's not Russell Wilson anymore. You don't think his age, 36 years old, you don't think his age has anything to do with the recovery or the slow recovery of his calf? You don't think his age had nothing to do with maybe injuring his calf in the first place? And by the way, if you're not familiar, Russell Wilson injured his calf in drills in preparation for training camp. It was like a test. He was pushing a sled and he injured his calf. Oh, come on, man. Come on. at least get hit, at least be running away. Now, who am I to say? I've met Russell Wilson. One of his calves is probably the size of two of my legs. I'm not playing in the NFL. But the fact is, I want to see Fields have success. I want to see the new blood. I've seen Russell Wilson. I've seen what he can do. Let him find a turnaround somewhere else if he can ever do it. Nothing lasts forever. Not everybody goes out on top. And I know it sucks for Russell Wilson. It didn't end well in Seattle. It didn't end well, certainly. Not at all in Denver. They thought he was the guy. No siree. It may not end well here in Pittsburgh. Russell Wilson might be a backup. Or who knows? Maybe he's back with another team next year and he's just lighting it up. All I know is I want to see Fields and I want to see him have success. Now, I do have to mention this. Because as we were having this chat with Mike DeFabo, there was additional information that came out about Davante Adams. Davante Adams earlier today decided to post a photo of Edgar Allan Poe. The Raven, Nevermore, he's connected with Baltimore. The whole team is basically based off of that man's book and The Raven and all that stuff, okay? He put up a photo of the guy, and he got people thinking, like, what does this mean? He's going to the Ravens now all of a sudden? Josina Anderson, been an NFL insider for a long time in a lot of places. She says that there's nothing that has changed here when it comes down to Davante Adams and where he might end up. Nothing. Nothing's changed. It's also been reported, thank you, Jonathan Jones here of CBS Sports, that Aaron Rodgers is pushing for the New York Jets to bring in Davante Adams. Of course he is. He's not going to run around and tell everybody publicly. I mean, we played the audio for you. I want to play it again in a second. But we played the audio for you from earlier today when he was out in London. Aaron Rodgers was talking to the media, and they basically asked him about Davante. He's like, listen, you're not going to get me on no tampering. But if you're the New York Jets, and your offense, the passing game, with one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time has been sputtering. If you're the New York Jets, and Aaron Rodgers to Garrett Wilson isn't working the way that you hoped it would be. If you're the New York Jets, when everybody's behind is on the line, why wouldn't you move hell, go over hell, go through hell, over, under, high water? Why wouldn't you do it all just to bring in Davante Adams? Aaron Rodgers in London earlier today, he was asked about his old buddy with the Packers, Davante, and this is what Rodgers said at the time.
I don't know how much I can say about it. There's tampering. But I still have a close friendship with him. We spend time in the offseason together. He's a great guy and a great player, and the rest of that's out of my hands.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's lobbying in the back, though. Come on. Who wouldn't want Davante Adams? Stop. Come on. Everybody does. The Kansas City Chiefs want Davante Adams, but they may have to settle for somebody else. Like Tyreek Hill, who said he doesn't want to go anywhere. Right. Dolphins may not want to keep you. Let's remember that. Especially if they keep sucking the way they are with no Tua Tagovailoa. Anyway. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. I would be surprised if Davante Adams ends up anywhere besides the Jets. Is it? If he were to get traded like right now, next week, he's going to get owed about $13-12 million, one of the two. And the New York Jets is such a funny case of a team. My goodness. Somebody has to go, right? Somebody else has to get the boot. Let's remember this. Hassan Reddick hasn't even showed up to work yet. The New York Jets already traded for one guy that they thought would be chasing down the quarterback. He hasn't even showed up to work. This guy's been fined millions of dollars, and he is unmoved. If only we could all have those type of problems. Yeah, yeah, I'm not going to work. Well, don't you want to get paid? Yeah, 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 I got so much money, I don't care right now. The New York Jets are funny. Adding Davante Adams, well, they would still be funny. but the New York Jets would be funny with a wide receiver that Aaron Rodgers played 8 years with, won MVPs with, both guys went to Pro Bowls with. This would be great, right? 855-212-4227. It's 855-212-4227. Cliff is calling from Buffalo. Hey, Cliff, you're on the JR Sport Brief Show.
What's going on, Jay? JR?
Hey, go ahead quickly, Cliff. Go ahead.
Hey, you were right. Hey, you see? You were right. You remember talking to me last week?
Yeah, and I said that I thought that they would run all over him, and Derrick Henry had 199 yards. Yes, Cliff.
No comment. Hey, I was going to call you the next day, but I was busy. It was a little too late, and it was too busy for me to get through. On the other hand, I give you credit where it's due. You called it out.
Well, thank you, Cliff. Go ahead. We're up against the break, so go ahead.
Okay. So, how do you think? What do you think about the Titans, or the Texans? How do you think we handled fair against them?
Oh, well, Cliff, I actually talked about that about 30 minutes ago, and I said that. I'm sorry you missed it. That's why we got Rewind on the Odyssey app. I believe the Texans at home with no Khalil Shakir, with Stephon Diggs looking to light things up, I'm giving the Texans the edge. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it might be a field goal game. It could be a pick 'em game, but I'm going to hedge with the Texans at home.
Okay, no comment. Hey, I just wanted to call you.
Well, thank you, Cliff.
Thank you. You know, you're awesome, and I'll be in touch with you.
Well, thank you. I'll be right the hell here. You know where to find me.
I'll talk to you Monday.
All right. No doubt about it. Thank you so much, Cliff.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Cliff, for calling for Buffalo. Yeah, come on. I'm not perfect. I'm not going to be right all the time. Who's right all the time? I'm not a know-it-all. Just try to make sense. I try. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, you forget the Jets for a minute. How about the other team in the AFC East is dysfunctional? I'm going to talk to you about the Patriots, and we got Dan Wolkin to talk some college football. Don't move.